All right, so get ready because today we're going deep on a question that really kind of hit me from this book we're looking at, The Role of Hip Hop in Media in Shaping Gang Identity.
Okay.
It asks, can an art form be like a mirror showing us what's real, but also be a tool that shapes that reality? And we're focusing on hip hop and how it connects to like gang identity.
Yeah, it really makes you think, right? That's a tricky one. Like, can it be both?
Totally. And
Yeah.
this book is saying you can't have one without the other. They're tied together.
Makes sense.
So like both hip hop and gangs, they both came from these similar situations, right? Like the socioeconomic stuff happening in communities that are often ignored, pushed aside, especially in cities.
Yeah, I see that.
The book uses this example of the Bronx back in the 70s.
The Bronx,
You
you
got
say?
these DJs, Kool Herc, Grandmaster Flash, they're starting what becomes hip hop.
Right.
But at the same time, in those same neighborhoods, you have these gangs getting stronger, like the Black Spades, Savage Skulls, they were big then.
Wow, in the same place at the same time.
Yeah, it's almost like they're two sides of the same coin, you know, both wanting to express something, wanting to belong somewhere. And a lot of times it was because society wasn't listening to them.
It's like a reaction, pushing back against being ignored.
Exactly. So hip hop, it gave people a voice when they felt voiceless. A way to talk about their struggles, what they hoped for. And gangs, well, they offered that feeling of belonging, even if it wasn't always the best way to get it.
Sometimes that belonging came with a cost.
Totally. And as hip hop got bigger, more popular, it started to reflect some parts of that gang culture. And the book does this cool analysis of how that happened, looking at the music and the lyrics. Like, remember that Tupac song, Ambitions as a Rita?
Oh, yeah, classic Tupac.
It wasn't just a song, you know, it was like a raw story straight from those neighborhoods where gangs were in control. Rap became a powerful way to tell those stories.
You're right. It went beyond just music. It was like a window into that life.
And then you got It Was a Good Day by Ice Cube, which at first you might not think, oh, this is about gangs.
Right. It's got a different vibe.
But if you listen closer, you can hear it. The way he uses language, the images he paints, it's all rooted in the realities of those streets.
Huh. Yeah, the undercurrent is still there.
The book makes this point that's pretty interesting. They say all that slang, the symbols, the hand signs you see in lyrics and videos, they created this whole language that people connected with, even if they weren't actually in a game.
Like, it went beyond the gangs themselves. It became part of the culture.
Yeah, like that music video for Straight Outta Compton by NWA. Visually, it brought that world to a lot of people who'd never seen it before.
You're right. It wasn't just the music, it was showing you what it was like.
It became this huge thing. And then, you know, when gangster rap got big in the late 80s and 90s, guys like Snoop Dogg, Dr. Dre, Biggie Smalls, they put gang culture right in the spotlight.
Oh, yeah, they changed the game. It was everywhere.
And it changed how people around the world saw hip hop and gangs, too. The book even talks about how the media played a role in all this.
Really?
They argue that a lot of news and documentaries, they focused on the exciting, dangerous stuff, the violence, the crimes, and that just made those stereotypes about hip hop and gangs even stronger.
It's like they missed the bigger picture, why things were the way they were.
Right. It wasn't just about the violence. There's a whole context behind it. And then there's that whole thing about cultural appropriation. The book gives this crazy example of a clothing company. They made a ton of money using a gang's symbols and selling it as fashion, but they never said anything about where those symbols came from, the history, the struggle.
Wow, it makes you wonder who's really benefiting from this? Are they just using it or actually respecting it?
Totally. And then you add social media into the mix, YouTube, Instagram, it's a whole other level. It gives artists a way to share their stories, even if they're connected to gangs, without anyone filtering them.
Unfiltered, raw, just putting it out there.
Yeah. But it also means those images, those messages, they can spread everywhere, even get romanticized. And that's kind of scary.
Yeah, especially with younger kids who might not see the full picture yet.
We can't forget about the music industry either. They have this tricky relationship with artists who have gang ties. Are they taking advantage of them or are they helping them? It's a tough question the book really digs into.
Yeah, the book doesn't shy away from the hard questions. I like that.
It talks about how record labels make money off that street cred, those stories from the streets. But then you have cases like Tupac and Nipsey Hussle. They were successful, but they still became victims of gang violence.
Tragic. It's a reminder that even with success, those dangers are still real.
It's really complicated, but the book also talks about former gang members who found success in music, turned their lives around, and started giving back to their communities.
Oh, yeah, like Name a former gang member. Wasn't he involved in some pretty intense stuff?
Yeah, he did. But now he uses his platform to do good. He started a program to teach kids music production and life skills to help them avoid the path he went down.
That's amazing. It's a testament to the power of change.
It's not just black and white, you know? It's about seeing the individual stories, understanding the whole picture, not just the stereotypes.
It's about looking deeper, seeing the nuances, the whole spectrum. It makes it a lot more interesting and a lot more real.
Exactly. And that's why this whole topic is so fascinating. It makes you think about things differently, face some uncomfortable truths.
Absolutely. There's always more to learn, more to unpack. It keeps you engaged, that's for sure. And, you know, it's not just like an American thing either. This book really made it clear that hip-hop going global, it took those ideas about gang identity all over the world.
Oh, yeah, totally. You see it in artists everywhere. The book talks about this French group, NTM. They were huge in the 90s.
NTM.
I rapped about what it was like in the Parisian suburbs. Poverty, police brutality, feeling like you don't belong.
Man, those are some tough topics.
It's heavy stuff. And their music, it connected with people all across Europe, not just in France. It's like that gang identity thing. When it's expressed through hip-hop, it becomes something anyone who feels left out can relate to.
Kind of like a universal language for the outsiders.
It makes you think, right? Is it about people finding common ground in their struggles? Or could it be like making those cycles of violence and poverty even worse, even while you're giving them a voice?
That's the tough part, isn't it? The book really digs into that. On the one hand, hip-hop can be this amazing way to empower people and shine a light on what's wrong, but then it could also be making gang life seem cool, especially young people who just want to fit in somewhere.
Yeah, it's a double-edged sword, like with anything powerful, I guess.
Exactly. But, you know, like we were talking about before, the book doesn't just leave us with all doom and gloom. It talks about how hip-hop can be used to make things better, too, like that whole conscious rap movement.
Oh, absolutely. Artists like Common, Kendrick Lamar, they use their music to talk about real issues, stuff that matters.
And they're not afraid to speak their minds. Like Kendrick's song, All Right.
Oh, man, powerful song.
The book talks about how that song became an anthem for the whole Black Lives Matter movement. It's about resilience, you know, not giving up even when things are tough.
That song gives me chills every time. Raw, honest, and powerful.
And that's what conscious rap is all about. It's not just entertainment. It's a statement. It's a call to do something, to heal, to empower.
The book also talks about organizations using hip-hop for good, like the Universal Zulu Nation that Afrika Bambaataa started.
Oh, yeah, the Zulu Nation. They're doing some incredible work.
They take all those elements of hip-hop, the DJing, MCing, breakdancing, the graffiti art, and they use them to help young people stay away from gangs. It's about finding positive ways to express yourself.
It's like they're taking that energy, that passion, and channeling it into something positive.
Right. It's amazing. And it's not just them. There are all these mentorship programs popping up everywhere using hip hop to connect with kids who might be headed down the wrong path. They teach them skills, give them a sense of purpose, show them there's another way.
I remember you talking about that program in your city, the one helping young girls.
Yeah, Beats Beyond Bars. It's awesome. They teach young women how to make their own music, write lyrics, express themselves through hip hop. It's helped them so much. With confidence, dealing with trauma, finding their voices.
Wow, that's powerful stuff.
It's inspiring, isn't it, to see how hip-hop can be used to break those cycles of violence and despair to create something beautiful and meaningful?
It speaks to the potential that's there, right? The good that can come from it.
Absolutely. It's about recognizing that hip-hop is so much more than just a music genre. It's a culture, a movement, a force for change. Like we said, any powerful force can be used for good or bad.
It all comes down to how we use it, how we direct that energy.
So, after going this deep with this book, what's the biggest thing you're taking away? What should we as listeners, as hip-hop fans, be thinking about after all this?
You know, for me, it's about being conscious about how we engage with hip-hop.
Mm-hmm.
We need to understand what's going on, the history, the power dynamics. It's about asking ourselves, who are we supporting with our time and money? What messages are we spreading? And how can we use our love for hip-hop to make a positive impact?
Being informed, being critical, making conscious choices.
Yeah, exactly. And being active, not just passive. It's not enough to just listen to the music. We have to think about its effect on the world around us.
And those actions can take different forms, right? Supporting artists who are trying to make a difference, donating to those organizations that are helping people through hip-hop, even just having these conversations, raising awareness, questioning those stereotypes.
Exactly. It's about doing something, even if it seems small. Every little bit counts.
It's about remembering that hip-hop can inspire, it can educate, it can change things. And it's up to us to use that power for good. That's what I'm taking away from this deep dive. You know, as we're wrapping up this whole look at the role of hip-hop in media and shaping gang identity, it really hits me how this book doesn't shy away from the hard stuff.
Right.
It's real about the violence, the exploitation, but it also shows the hope, the resilience, and how hip-hop can be a force for good.
It's like walking a tightrope, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like we've been saying, hip-hop can show reality, A, need G, shape it, and that's a lot of power.
It is. Going back to that question we started with, can an art form be both? Reflect and shape reality at the same time. What do you think after all this?
I think it's got to be a yes. Hip-hop, when it's pure, it comes from real experiences. But it can also influence, inspire, and change the world it reflects.
So we're not saying ignore the bad stuff, how hip-hop got mixed up with gangs and violence.
Not at all. We got to see the whole picture, the history, the social and economic stuff. And then ask ourselves, how can we use this to move forward in a good way?
You talked about conscious consumption before. What does that actually look like?
To me, it's about paying attention to who we're supporting with our music choices, the artists, the messages we're putting out there. It's about finding those artists who use their platform to lift up their communities, fight injustice, and promote peace and understanding.
So maybe instead of just sticking to the same playlist, we try to discover artists from different places, different backgrounds, different experiences within hip-hop.
Yeah. And supporting organizations that are using hip-hop to make real change.
Mm.
Those mentorship programs we talked about, community centers, using music to give young people chances, those are the things that deserve our support.
This whole conversation has really got me thinking about what I can do as a listener. Like even small things to make a difference.
I think awareness is huge.
Yeah.
Just talking about it, challenging stereotypes, learning about all the sides to this, that's a form of action in itself.
Maybe it's having those tough conversations with people who have those old stereotypes about hip-hop friends, family, coworkers.
For sure. Sharing what we've learned from this book, showing them the positive stories, the artists making a real difference, can change the way people see things.
We started this deep dive looking at how hip-hop and gang identity are connected. And what I'm taking away is hope, a belief that hip-hop can overcome its past and be a force for good.
Me too. Hip-hop has this power to unite, to inspire, to heal. It's up to all of us to use that power the right way and make a future where hip-hop is truly a force for good in the world.
So as we wrap things up today, we want you to think about how you can connect with hip-hop in a more mindful way. What artists will you check out? What organizations will you support? What conversations will you start? Because the future of hip-hop, in a lot of ways, is up to us. Thanks for joining us on this journey, and keep exploring.